just imagine that mountain? Can you just imagine it? The blue skies, maybe a few clouds. You know, not a real tall peak because all the peoples will be gathered there. Can you imagine how long the table goes from one end to the other? And all the people sitting around the tables eating Plank Chapel's United Methodist Men's barbecue. Well, maybe not eating that, but the feast of such grandeur. And that God is presiding over that table. Who knows where he's sitting and Christ is there. All peoples are there. It's not just the elect or the select. All peoples are gathered at this feast. When I imagine that, I imagine tables I've sat at when I have felt that same kind of presence. I don't know if you sat at those kind of tables, but I have. I sat at one in Spokane, Washington, in our base housing with these rickety tables all put together. And there around that table were some military people. There were some people from graduate school with me. There was a priest from Malawi sitting at the table with me. There was an exchange student from Germany sitting at that table. And we were feasting and enjoying each other's company. And you just felt God's presence at the table, as if that table had moved out of time and place into a heavenly space, maybe up on that mountain with the Lord. Then I remember another table, much more recent. It was just last month when I was with my family at Merle's Inlet, and we were sitting at a table from a house we had rented, and not all of the family was gathered there, but my four siblings were there with me. And it was Saturday night, and there were 14 of us around this table, and we decided to do tacos because people could put them together and put whatever they wanted in them. And so if you didn't like this or you didn't like that, you made your own. So there was this feast in the middle and all of us around it. And I sat there and I went, this is why we gather. This is why I come to family reunions regardless of whatever drama gets us there or whatever drama happens in the midst of it. It's this moment when I'm gathered with my brothers and sisters who I may not see again. I never know from one year to the next. And being the youngest, they're used to me being the mushy one who cries and does all that strange stuff that I've always done. I had to blurt it out. I said, do you know how much I love you? And not all of them were there. My son wasn't even there. But the moment was so filled with love. And I was so grateful for the gift of family. It was a meager feast, but it was a feast. And it took us up out of the ordinariness into God's extraordinary love. And then there was another table I sat at recently. It was here in our fellowship hall, and it was on September 11th. And we were gathered for eating together faithfully, and not all of us believed the same thing. And that was a struggle, because sometimes when you don't believe the same thing, it's hard to sit at the same table. And a couple came. They were strangers. I was not expecting them. And then I found out not only were they strangers, they were Muslim. And so there at the table, we feasted, and we began not with a full communion, but we began with the remembrance of what this table represents. Christ was there in the midst of that table where a Muslim couple and a group of Christians ate together. It was a moment out of time. I'm going to tell you about one more table, though, because this table, for me, was one of my favorite tables. It was in the basement of Central United Methodist Church on the corner of 3rd and Howard in Spokane, Washington. And a woman in her 80s decided we had to do a meal ministry. So we would open our fellowship hall on Thursdays, and in would pour the people of the streets. And in would pour anyone who wanted to serve, anyone who wanted to eat. And we sat together at these tables, those who were serving, those who had been served, those who were wealthy, those who were poor, those who were showered, those who hadn't. And we ate together. And it was always, those Thursday nights were always moments when I just felt I was on God's holy mountain. When God created the heavens and the earth, he created them out of love. He created them through love. He created them because God is love. And he created humankind so that we would be the caretakers of this loving creation. And our love has failed often, often. So then we get this passage in Isaiah when we're reminded that God doesn't give up on us, that God loves us, and God wants all peoples at that table. It doesn't matter what their socioeconomic status is. It doesn't matter what their addictions were or could be. It doesn't matter what disease they have. It doesn't matter the color of their skin. It doesn't matter what nation they were born in or from. It does not matter to God because God created humankind, male and female. He created them in his image. And God wants all peoples at that table. But the thing is, we do continually fail. We do continually fail. And that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to unbind us from sin and death. Jesus came so that we might have life and have it abundantly. But Jesus came and said, you have a choice. You can either say yes or no. My table will always be open. There will always be a place for you at my table. I will never, never say no to you. But you can say no to me. But what I desire most from you is that yes. What I desire most from you is to come and know that you are God's beloved child. And I came so that you could have life and have it abundantly. I came to unbind you from the sins that hold you together. I came to unbind you from death. Death that shrouds you with anger, with frustration, with despair, with disappointment. I have come so that you can have hope, you can have life, and you can have it in abundance. And the world will know love and joy through you. So that's my favorite piece when he tells them to unbind Lazarus. Not that he rose him, that he got risen from the dead, but that he got unbound from death itself. And then we had the piece in Revelations where we hear again the echo and the promise that God will restore God's world, that love will unbind the world from death, from despair, from sin. But always remember, God is not a God who will coerce you into a relationship. God woos you. God welcomes you. God invites you to God's table. It is your choice always to say, here I am. I'm coming. I can't wait to come to dinner with you, Jesus. And I can't wait to come to dinner with Jesus in heaven. Aren't you excited about coming to have dinner with Jesus in heaven one day? I'm not so excited I want to go there tomorrow. I'm telling you that right now. But I am excited for that feast, that heavenly feast. My banquet might have lobster at it. I don't know what's going to be at yours. But just saying what mine's going to have. But today, this is the feast we're coming to. The table that Christ invites all of us to. All of us who love him and earnestly repent of our sin. You are welcome here at this table. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.